So I took the liberty to kind of, so our presentation was called Trade Facilitation Indicators, and I kind of took the liberty to put the subtitle as the title to kind of get a bit of perspective, because there are two things that we do here, we do at the OECD, and that the Aid for Trade at Glance chapter that we work on allows us to collide somehow. So we have, on one side, we've been working a lot and for a long time on trade facilitation and monitoring and looking at the trade facilitation agreements. But as everyone has seen, digital trade is the most important topic those days. So many workshops, so many discussions. So, of course, we had a look at what was happening there, trying to understand what we could do and understand actually what it was. And looking a bit more about what digital trade meant, we actually realized that there was so many discussions, but most of the time people talk about different things. And here is the example that, for example, the way the previous presentation was talking about digital trade versus e-commerce is not really the same way that other people will do and not the same way we do. So we started working a bit more with the idea of, you know, taking a bit of a step back and think about what it actually meant and trying to think a bit more about some form of taxonomy of what digital trade was. So we have that work, and we had the work on trade facilitation. And then this work for Aid for Trade allowed us to try to ask ourselves how digital technologies affect the trade facilitation agenda and the way we see trade cost. Does it actually change things, and what is it changing? So here it's an opportunity to bring this together and to see how, you know, digital connectivity interacts here mostly on the physical side of the connectivity. So trying to bring those ideas together. So first, I'm just going to first angle, which is through digital trade. What are the opportunities and challenges brought about by digital trade? And then I move to another angle, which is more on how data flows and digitization influence trade facilitation. That might sound like the same. It's not exactly the same way of seeing the world. And people, sometimes people talk about the first part, and some people talk about the second part, and the challenges are the same, but they are not viewed the same way. So opportunities and challenges brought about by digital trade, I will not, you all know about it. You all know that through digital trade, SMEs, even consumers are immediately global. You are a consumer, you can buy a pair of jeans that you live in France, you can buy a pair of jeans through eBay in the US. You're directly the trader. You become the trader. So you change who is trading. We have less, we have smaller businesses trading, et cetera. I'm not teaching you anything here. You all know that. Second, actually, does it change what we trade? No, we still talk about goods and services. It's still goods and services. So in a sense, you know, that's still the same. But, you know, we do have this new thing, which is a digital delivery. I'm not going to go into that direction here. The idea here is more to talk about physical delivery, which is already quite complicated. Then there's the trend of, you know, what is traded. So we had containerization that really helped a lot in terms of reducing trade costs. But then now what happens is that we have small parcels, and we have an overflow of small parcels crossing borders. So what does that change? But as I said, it doesn't change everything. We still have goods and services. We still have the WTO rules that apply, since we still have goods and services. And still, physical delivery is the most important mean of delivery. We have an increase in digital delivery, but physical is still very important. So traditional trade costs relating to this physical delivery are still important and still represent an insurmountable barrier to the physical delivery of goods. So strangely, you are able to project yourself to the world, to the world market. You have very low transaction costs. Your cost of finding your trade partners are minimum, but you're still confronted to the fact that your parcel or your product has to physically reach the consumer. So, you know, changes, but not to some extent. And also it creates new challenges, actually. So new challenges because, well, a lot of small parcels, it's a lot to manage for customs authorities. And also because you have all those new actors don't necessarily know about standards, whether because you're a consumer sending a product, you don't really know whether if you're sending a plant, you don't really know that you need a certification or that it might be problematic in terms of SPS issues in general. And it's a high cost for custom authorities to manage all that. How can you monitor all those small parcels not really knowing what's inside? And in addition, you have the de minimis, which have multiple problems with that because then it's a reduction, potentially a reduction of the taxes that a lot of countries rely a lot on, but also, you know, different kinds of parcels going through, more or less well declared, etc. So new challenges, even on the physical side. But on the other hand, data flows and digitalization can support trade facilitation. So we have a lot of data, more and more data to handle, and it can support trade facilitation. It can reduce the cost. We have more information. We know what product is coming in. We have in the trade facilitation agreement a lot of references made to data and to the way we can use them, and it can make things more rapid at the border, so more efficiency. So here at the OECD, what we have is the trade facilitation indicator that we've been working on for quite some time now. The first batch of worldwide data were in 2012. So this is a tool that allows to bring is matching the trade facilitation agreements. It's an evaluation tool that allows to measure the impact of trade facilitation measures on trade costs. And it follows the structure of the trade facilitation agreement to make things easier. And it's also a monitoring and benchmarking tool. So countries are allowed to, well, it enables countries to know a bit more about their performance, where they stand, what they need to invest in. So you can prioritize trade facilitation actions by governments and help mobilizing technical assistance by donors. So here's the reason why I was there was this last-minute changes. We thought it would be a good idea to give you a bit of an idea what that means in terms of more visually. So here, for example, you have the cost impact by income group of full implementation of the trade facilitation agreement or limited implementation with the difference being the best endeavor or not included in the implementation. And we can see how we can use our indicator to identify the reduction in trade costs according to country groups. So the opportunity cost of investing in trade facilitation. So the second more visual slide that we integrated is this one, highlighting the degree of performance in terms of trade facilitation according to our indicator. So highlighting that first we have a lot of information all around the world as much as possible, and then that we the different regions that need more support in terms of to implement the trade facilitation agreement. So here are just the different provisions that we have, the different indicators that we have. It's a bit of a disaggregation. And what we did is that we can easily identify that some of those are particularly sensitive to data flows. And more data flows can support the implementation of, in particular, information availability. That's quite obvious. You have information on the Internet, and everyone has access to the Internet. You can know about certification, et cetera. Second one is automation, electronic payment, including, for example. A third one is formalities or procedures with pre-arrival processing, et cetera, or single windows. But while those are really related to trade facilitation agreements, some discussions are going further, and some people say that we should already go a step further in terms of we have all this information in the digital world, and we have an easy way to connect them. So we need, for example, some people suggest to connect the payment of custom duties to your payment online. So as a customer, you you pay your item, but at the same time you pay your custom duties. So this is a step further in terms of what is suggested in the trade facilitation agreement, but some institutions seem to consider that actually could make their life much easier. So not only would it make things faster, but it would avoid customs, for example, to completely be overwhelmed by having to manage all those tiny parcels and to track whoever has to pay the tax. Because if you have a tiny parcel with a very low value, tracking the person who has to pay the tax might be as expensive as the tax that you're going to receive. So all those kind of initiatives and different kind of institutions thinking about already a step further in terms of integrating new tools or harmonization tools using data. So we said that there was a potential in terms of looking more at customs and issues across at the border, but it's also behind the border that this digitization can support trade facilitation. It's not only the customs issue, but it's also if you want to increase trade facilitation, you need to make the logistic of trade work better. You need to make sure that your product is going to arrive. If you're in a very remote area and in a country that is not well connected and you actually have maybe one or two services allowing ready to bring the product to you, you need to trust that postal service or any other kind of service that bring you the product, that the product will come on time or in shape, that it's not going to be completely crushed. So you have a lot of new tools and data and tracking, the tracking of the cargo, the tracking of a truck, all those kind of new digital tools allow to make trade facilitation behind the border, the logistics of trade work better and can support digital trade and trade in general. So more flexibility, more efficiency, and further reduction of trade costs. So this is just to show that we try to take a step back, try to understand what has changed, what has not changed. What has definitely not changed is that the physical connectivity matters, but it is still connected to the new tools and to digital flows. So digital trade, new opportunities, old constraints, new constraints. We have to figure out new ways of dealing with those new parcels, etc. And so it's also a way to potentially reduce the investments that different countries have to make to achieve the trade facilitation agreement or different kind of levels of trade facilitation. The same way we've had some kind of leapfrogging effect with the mobile phone. But then the conclusion that I didn't write here, because it's potentially the most problematic and what creates a lot of discussions behind and that we try to avoid by being very specific on examples of how we can make trade work better is the data flow issue. And the fact that you need to have free data flow to enable all of those things to happen. You need to make sure that data can flow from one country to the other in a safe, secure way. But we need to find a way to have interoperability and to exchange data. Otherwise, none of this, in the end, will be possible. So this is just to finish. Thank you.